Welcome to Parents' Perspective.
On the occasion of the birth of his firstborn son, the Caliph of Baghdad held a celebration, a party. It was a big, wonderful celebration, and everyone came. Everyone who was anyone, and some people who weren't. And everyone who came brought a gift for the young prince. There is nothing like the party that the Caliph held for the young prince. And everyone came laden with beautiful, beautiful, rich things for the prince. Did I say everyone? There was one young man who came with his hands empty. When he saw him, the Caliph was astounded. He was angry, and he had his guards bring the young man before him. "How is it that you dare come to the celebration of the birth of my firstborn son, empty-handed?" "It is true," said the young man, "that I do not have anything in my hands. Everyone else has brought you beautiful gifts. There are spices, there are herbs that smell wonderful. There are silk carpets, some of them perhaps magical. There are jewels and gems, and even the poor have brought you baskets of eggs or herbs from their garden. These are all wonderful things to smell, to touch, to taste, to look at with admiration. What I bring you is something different. I bring you a promise. From the moment that your son is old enough to sit still, I will come to the palace every day and I will tell him a story. I will tell tales of the history of our people so that he will become wise in our ways. I will tell tales of heroes and adventure so that he will learn courage. And I will tell sweet and tender love stories so that he will learn compassion and kindness. And so it was. And so when the old Caliph lay on his deathbed, he knew that he would be leaving his lands in the rule of a man, his son, who was wise and kind and compassionate. What better gift could there be?
You have been listening to a story told by Eve Burton.
From a parent's perspective, how can we stimulate our children's interest in learning the art of storytelling? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest is a storyteller, and she helps children with this art as well. Eve Burton is a librarian in Montgomery County, Maryland, and is also leader of the Dogwood Dogs 4-H Club. She started a storytellers club at the Twin Brook Community Library in Rockville, Maryland, in 2001, and a year later added a poetry club as well. The participants performed at numerous fairs and festivals over the years. Eve also founded a storytelling project with her 4-H Club group. She's the mother of four children, a daughter and three sons, ranging from 16 to 30 years old. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Eve.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Will you tell us what's the most important ingredient in a good story?
Excitement. There are skills involved in telling stories, but there is no one thing. There are many elements, and if you have anything that makes a great story, it's that the teller is excited and is connecting with his or her audience.
What's the most important skill for a storyteller to have?
People are all different. We all tell stories in different ways. Some people tell stories that are exciting adventure tales. Some people tell stories that are tender love stories. Some people like the beginning of a story. They get you excited and all involved in it. And some people are better at telling the middle of a tale. And some people are good at wrapping up a tale. Some people love stories that use wonderful, wonderful language, and you don't care what they're telling about. And all you want to do is listen. Everyone on this earth has a tale to tell, many of them, I hope, and everyone tells them in a different way. And they tell different kinds of stories. One of my favorite books about storytelling is Pete Seeger's storytelling book, Wonderful Tale. And in it, he recounts a story. I think it's his grandson who always tells the beginning of a story and never really tells the end of the story. And you might think, oh, what about the end? But the kid said to him, you know, some people like the beginnings of stories and some people like the ends, and we don't all tell the same tale. A related incident, I have a little girl who long ago in Storytellers Club, she told Patricia Reed's story, the story from the Enchanted Tales. It's about an elf who goes walking in the woods, and he walks in the woods and he hears pit-a-pat, 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 and he walks some more and hears these footsteps whenever he stops. And she told that story to a group of children, and she walked the elf through the woods and got him home, and there he was in his tree, and she stopped. And I, who knew the story, was waiting to hear the end of it, and she didn't tell it. And so finally I said, that was a wonderful story, but I'm really curious what happened. Well, before she could finish telling the story, all of the children in the group had an idea about what the footsteps were behind. Some of them thought it was a little mouse. Some of them thought it was another elf following through the woods. Some of them thought it was the leaves being blown by the wind. They all had an idea. And what it was supposed to be an echo of the elf's feet as he was walking through the woods. It didn't bother any of the children that she hadn't told the end, and they all had their own ideas. And that story told me two things. It told me that, first of all, stories don't have to go the way adults think they need to go. And it told me, secondly, that children don't have the same expectations that adults have about how a story should work. That when children are hearing a story, they get so caught up in the moment, and they have such wonderful imaginations, even if it doesn't end, they have a story.
How is that different from when children are reading a storybook?
When children hear a story told, they are fully engaged. The storyteller, I'm sitting here talking to you in the studio now, but I'm looking you in the eye. I'm using hand gestures to pull you into what I'm saying, and you're responding. You're not sitting there doing nothing. You're smiling, or you're nodding, or you're looking excited, or maybe you're looking bored when I tell a tale, but you're not doing nothing. When children read a book, they get totally drawn into that story if they are themselves reading. If they are listening to a story told, that's a different dynamic. There's someone sitting there with them holding the book and looking at them to see that they're following along, so it's an interactive process. Reading is wonderful. Don't misunderstand me. I think reading is wonderful, and children get drawn into stories. But when they hear a story told, they connect with the teller in a more personal way. When they learn to tell a story themselves, that story becomes a part of them in a way that you cannot have when you are listening or reading a story. The words become your words. Maybe not the first time you tell a story. Maybe the first time you're just saying the words and just putting it out. But when you tell a tale a second time and a third time, each time you tell that story, it becomes more a part of you. It becomes something that you are sharing with other people. And you learn about yourself, you learn about the other people, and you learn about the meaning of the story in a way that you just can't from reading it.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on kids and storytelling.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Eve Burton about kids and storytelling.
Now, why is being a good storyteller an especially advantageous skill for a youngster.
The only way to get to be a good storyteller is by telling stories. The more stories you tell, the better you get. The more stories you listen to, the better ear you have for what makes a good tale. And so I would never want someone to think, oh, I can't be a good storyteller, so I shouldn't tell my children stories. You know, we worship the people who can do things perfectly, and so we don't do things that we might otherwise really enjoy. It's wonderful to be a good storyteller, but you won't ever get there unless you do it. So you should always tell stories. Grandparents sharing stories with their grandchildren is the most wonderful thing in the world. My grandfather was a writer, and he used to tell stories of the little people. And I love the stories of the little people. I don't even now remember what any of them were about. I just remember sitting with my grandfather and hearing him tell tales of the little people who would, you know, they when you took a nap in the afternoon. And some kids might get scared by this. I didn't. I thought it was enchanting. But the little people would come and tickle your toes, or they would come and, you know, dance at the foot of your bed, or whatever. It was imaginative. And those shared moments with my grandfather were wonderful. My father is the one who used to tell tales of his childhood. He used to tell about the cow that they kept and that he milked. And he used to tell tales of how he put himself through college by doing photography. The tales of our families are so important for most of us. They're not going to get into the newspapers. They're not going to get into the history books. But that's what makes you who you are those family tales.
With all this discussion of the importance of practice, how can storytelling skills be taught?
We say with young children that some skills are caught rather than taught. My goal with young children is to get them telling stories and to give them an audience to listen. Very often, our children are put in situations where they are expected to listen to adults, talk, 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 tell them the right way to do things, tell them what to do, tell them how to do it. We don't always listen to our children. So my goal is to give children an opportunity to hear each other. And in my storytelling club and in my 4-H club where we do storytelling, it is as important to me to be cultivating listeners as it is tellers. So the children get a chance to tell stories. They also get a chance to listen to each other respectfully and hear the stories that other people tell. The best way to become a good storyteller is by telling stories. You get up in front of an audience, you learn how to not be scared, you tell your tale, and then you listen to them clap for you. As you tell stories, you learn about yourself. You learn what stories you like and what stories you don't like. You learn what stories you can tell and what stories you can't tell, because there are some stories that you just can't tell. I know a very wonderful, wonderful storyteller who told me that she couldn't learn a story, and I felt so good because I had been trying to learn a really scary story, and I couldn't do it. Couldn't get it to stay in my head, and I couldn't tell it. I, who have told many tales over the years, could not learn this story. And it just wasn't for me. Or maybe it just wasn't for me at that time.
What kinds of experiences work best for kids when it comes to storytelling?
Informal opportunities to talk, to tell stories, to listen to stories, and to share what they like about the stories with each other. In Storytellers Club, I always say anyone may tell a story, no one ever has to. Making children tell stories is a bad thing. Anytime a child feels pressure to be on the spot and have to learn this story and memorize it and get it right and tell it and, heaven help us, be graded on it, that's not a good thing. Children are natural storytellers. At around 4 and 5 years old, give or take a couple of years, children love to talk, and they will talk to anyone who listens. Giving them an ear is important because they will talk and they will talk. And sometimes what they say makes sense, and sometimes it doesn't make sense. Some children, even at the age of 4 or 5, can learn a coherent story that has a beginning and a middle and an end, and they can present it for others. Most children that age don't really get it. They are too egocentric that they cannot understand they are telling a story for you, that you need to understand, that you need to enjoy. So they just tell what comes into their head, and sometimes what comes into their head connects, and sometimes it doesn't. As they get older, they learn to tell a tale with a beginning, a middle, and an end. A child who can learn a folk tale, a simple folk tale that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, you know, the three little pigs, Goldilocks and the three bears, Henny Penny, a tale like that with a lot of repetition and a clear chronology of events, that's a good place for a young child to learn storytelling skills. I discourage children in my club from trying to tell complicated literary stories where there is not a clear chronology. Sometimes they've read a book and they want to recap the story from the book. It's very, very hard for young children to do that because they don't necessarily know what are the key elements, what contributes to the construction of the plot, what contributes to the character. And so I encourage them to tell simple folk tales, real life experiences, if they have had an adult help them put those real life experiences into a story. I, for example, had a wonderful storyteller who still tells sometimes with my tellers group. Her mother is Chinese, her father is American, and they go back to China every once in a while. And her family went to China, and she had wonderful experiences, and she came back, and for our Chinese New Year program, she told a story of the things that she had seen and done in China. And it was wonderful. But her parents helped her put the story together in a way that, you know, had one incident and another incident and another, and it contributed to the whole of a story. Most children can't do that, and certainly not on their own.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on kids and storytelling.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Eve Burton about kids and storytelling.
Are there techniques for storytellers that are particularly appropriate to help children learn?
Simply being able to speak loudly, project their voice, speak clearly so that other people understand their words. Those are important skills. Very young children, especially before their mouths are fully grown in, children don't usually have difficulty learning to memorize. Very young children are in a language-sensitive period where they hear a story, and if they've heard it once or twice, they usually can retell it. Maybe not exactly, but they can usually retell the basic story. Once they become literate, they begin to rely on the written page, and it becomes harder for them to learn the story. So there are some tricks to helping children learn to tell the story, drawing simple pictures for them, or if they're able, letting them draw simple pictures for themselves so that they can see this part comes before that part comes before that part. And as they tell stories and listen to other people telling stories, they hear what works in a story and they think, oh, I like that idea. Children are good copycats. That's part of the natural development process, is that they learn from the models around them. They should also go to hear storytellers.
And we haven't really focused on this, but it seems to me a companion skill, and that is listening skills.
Yes. Children need to learn to actually listen, to follow a story. And stories are very motivating. Listening to another kid tell a story is a very motivating thing. They think, when I tell a story or another adult tells a story, that's good entertainment. But it's different. When they hear another child tell a story, They're thinking, if he can do it, if she can do it, I can do it too. It becomes something that's very, very exciting to them. And so they listen better to other children. One of the skills in my storytelling club that I'm most proud of is that the children have learned to be good, respectful listeners. Even when a younger brother or sister who's only 3 or 4 years old comes and tells a story, they will listen attentively. And to me, that's really exciting because they're not only telling stories and listening to good stories, they're also learning to listen to those who may not be as good of storytellers as they are, and learning to respect that that person has something to say, which is so important. Not everybody who comes into your life is a wonderful storyteller, but you should be able to listen to other people no matter what they are telling you.
It sounds almost like something parents could stimulate at home with children of different ages, maybe around the dinner table.
The rule at my dinner table is no extraneous activities. We do not read at the dinner table. We do not watch television at the dinner table. We do not listen to the telephone. Oh, heavens, we do not text at the dinner table. We don't do anything except listen. We tell our stories of the day, you know, Dad, what he did at work, Mom, what she did at work, the kids, what they did. That's beginning storytelling.
I have a feeling we have listeners who would like to have storytelling groups in their own communities. Can you give us a little information on how you started a group and advice you might have for others?
I was invited to come and tell stories for the Halloween party, and I told a story, and my son told a story, the little red hen. As soon as the children heard him tell his story, every single child in the group wanted to tell a tale. Every single one. So we did. I let them tell stories. Some of them told stories that they had heard read to them. Some of them had had stories told to them, and they shared the oral tradition. A couple of them made up stories. One little girl, who was a writer still, made up a wonderful, scary ghost story. It had us all on the edge of our seat on the lawn. One child sang a song. Another one told a joke, which are all part of storytelling. It was at that moment that I knew there needed to be a group for children where they could come and tell stories to each other. And the rest is history. It started with a half a dozen children, and it blossomed from there. The children come. As I said, nobody ever has to tell a story, but anyone who wants to gets a chance. We have a ritual that we follow. We light our candle to Shel Silverstein's poem, If You Are a Dreamer, Come In. Anyone who wants to tell their story shares a tale. And if there's time for a storytelling game, maybe an add-on story where you start once upon a time and the next person says, there was a little girl with big shoes, and the next person says, and she had an umbrella, or other storytelling games. But that's the ritual that I would encourage people to follow. The key to success is having one child who knows how to tell a story. When an adult tells a tale, it's good entertainment. When a child tells a story, a whole world of possibilities opens, and the other children look and think, hey, if he or she can do that, I can do it too.
What other resources would you suggest for our listeners who want to keep going with this idea?
Your public library is your best friend. Every library has folktales and children's stories. Hopefully every library in the entire country, every public library, has children's librarians who will help you find those folktales and those stories that are good for telling. Local folklore or historical societies are a good place. Any community will have some kind of historical society or folklore organization. Go online and look for storytelling. The National Storytelling Association does a festival in Jonesboro, Tennessee every year, the National Storytelling Festival, where storytellers come from all over the world. I'm told it's the biggest storytelling festival in the world. So people whose children are interested in serious I hate to use the word competitive storytelling, but serious storytellers. There are national competitions for kids. You audition by videotape, and then the kids come and tell stories for each other, and they get encouragement, and they get some skills training from nationally recognized, internationally recognized storytellers. I jotted down three authors whose books I found helpful. Pete Seeger, his storytelling book, Tell Me a Tale by Joseph Bruchak, who is a Native American storyteller who's done a lot of wonderful storytelling, not necessarily with children, but his book has ideas of telling tales with children. And Margaret Reed MacDonald has both books of stories and some information about storytelling.
We are so grateful that you were able to help us learn more about the art of storytelling and stimulating children's interest in storytelling. So, Eve Burton, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. I'm always excited to talk about storytelling and storytelling with children because we need to get our children doing what they love to do.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 460 and tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from the SF Foundation. Our sound engineer is Mark Vitelli. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt. Mm-hmm.